All right, back to it right here, KDK. Let's welcome in Senator Dave McCormick on this Thursday afternoon. Hi, Senator. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so very much for asking. I guess I'll get right to it. As this week has crept through, I have sensed from people, feedback on the text line or callers, just people that I've talked to, a sense of frustration in so much as they don't care to point at who to blame anymore. They just want things to be fixed. Do you find the same thing?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it's a sense of, this is hard not to, to share your side of the story. But the bottom line is the role of government is to serve the people. And when the government shut down, you're failing the people. And, every day that goes by, we're in the 37th day, it's hurting people more and more. So, people aren't getting paid, air traffic controllers, Border Patrol, TSA, the SNAP benefits, these are the food benefits. People that are really dependent on this to eat aren't getting their benefits. And now you're starting to see it affect travel, where the travel starting to, airport travel starting to be reduced going into Thanksgiving. I mean, it's just a mess. And it's disgusting. And the Congress, myself included, the Senate and the House are failing the American people with this government shutdown. There's no doubt about it.
Has there been any communication? Do you see any on the horizon, or kind of what's in store next?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of negotiations and discussions going on behind the scenes. I'm not involved in all of those things, but my sense is there's efforts being made to try to find a path through this. I think, there was a lot of speculation that the Democrats wanted to wait until after the election yesterday. So hopefully that's going to open up a window. And the big, the big issue of contention beyond opening up the government is the extension of the Obamacare subsidies that were put in place during COVID. These were special subsidies put in place during COVID, and whether those should be extended. And what Republicans have said is, hey, we're willing to talk about that and figure out whether there's some form of extension after the government's open. And my own personal view on that is there's a lot of flaws with those subsidies. And there's a lot of people that make a lot of money that are receiving those subsidies, so some making $500,000 or $600,000 a year. But I am worried about healthcare premiums going up for working families. So I think there is probably something we need to do on that. But we certainly can't do it with a gun to our head where it's forced based on this threat to keep the government shut down. So I'm hoping there's a path through this sometimes very soon. And, there's some indications that it is. But my guess is until we see it, we shouldn't believe it.
Senator Dave McCormick joining right here, KDK. Is one of your contentions that you sort of alluded to that able-bodied Americans of working age simply aren't working?
Well, that was that's not so much a part of this debate, but that was a big part of the debate around the Medicaid reforms that were put in place in the Big Beautiful Bill. That was controversial. And, for your listeners, one of the things that I keep reading is that Medicaid's being slashed. It's been cut. Well, no, not at all. What's really happening is that the rate of growth of that is being slowed. So it's grown a lot over the last 5 years. And what was in the bill that we passed was to take the growth, at least in Pennsylvania, from about 6% a year to 3% a year. So it's still growing faster than inflation. And one of the specific requirements to get Medicaid that was put in place in the Big Beautiful Bill was that if you're eligible to work, don't have disabilities and you don't have dependents, if you're eligible to work, then you should have to work to receive Medicaid benefits. And the work you should have to do is 80 hours a month. That's 80 hours a month, not 80 hours a week. That's 80 hours a month. And there was lots of things that would qualify as work. Volunteer work, education, and actual work would all qualify. So that was one of the requirements that was put in place in the Big Beautiful Bill, which is called the Working Families Tax Cut Bill. And I supported that because I think most Americans think that's pretty reasonable.
Senator Dave McCormick joining right here. If you've had a think tank, or if you just bounce texts off of each other or just spoken to each other, what do you distill down to why the Republican voter didn't show up in the midterms the way you had hoped?
You know, we're still trying to make sense of that. I think it certainly had something to do with President Trump not being in the ballot. I think, you know, we've acquired a number of new voters in the last couple years in the Republican Party in Pennsylvania and around the country. These are voters that had traditionally voted Democrat or independent or hadn't been registered, and they've come into the Republican fold, but they're low propensity voters. By that, I mean, they don't vote for every election. They vote mostly just on presidential elections. And so certainly that's part of it. We didn't get the vote out among low propensity voters. That's part of the problem. I think the Democrats were very, very motivated. It was a very much a, you know, this was their fight back against the administration and the agenda that they don't agree with. And I think, you know, I think we probably in some places didn't have the candidates that gave the energy to the voters that we needed. So there's a lot to learn from this. I think we need to study it. And as disappointing as it was, it wasn't that surprising. Most of the wins that we saw were in states that were blue states and expected to have blue candidates prevail. But I do think it's a wake-up call for the midterm elections in 2026 that we're going to have to really focus and get our voters out there, convince the people that are on the fence that we're going to do great things for them. And one of the areas we got to do that's affordability, which you referred to, but making sure that that we're building an economy that works for everybody. I think we're making huge strides on that, but there's still a lot of concern around that, and we need to deliver on the goods, which is an economy that works for everybody, where prices are in check and there's great job opportunity for people across the country.
What gets me on both sides, Senator, about people not showing up for midterms or for down ballot races if they're in the regular election, so to speak, are these are the people that get your roads plowed. They're the people that make curriculum at your kid's school. At a granular level, it generally affects you very much so. And so I couldn't bring myself to not vote in an election like this.
You're so right. I think the importance of these kinds of elections is really underestimated, to your point. I mean, it's, you know, if you think about who's going to have a bigger impact on your kids, your taxes, your, you know, the business friendliness of your area, is it going to be a local candidate or is it going to be, you know, a United States senator or a governor or a member of the House? I think in many cases, it's going to be those local elections that affect your life the most. And so, you know, we need to do a better job of helping people understand how important it is and making sure they get out there and exercise their responsibility to vote and make their community better.
Last thing for you. Have you given the old kind of kick in the pants to the people in the State House about this budget? What's happening here?
Yeah, well, listen, people in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. And so here we're sitting in Washington not being able to get a budget and and get the government open, which I want to say again to your listeners is a, you know, there's a real failure of your elected officials. But we got the same issue at the state level. And, you know, I think it's part of the reason, I've never been in elected office before. So I've been in elected office now for 9 months. But I think it's part of the reason people have lost faith in their institutions and their government, because, you know, disagreements aside for a second, the most basic stuff, like getting a budget, getting a government up and running, isn't happening. So for those of your listeners that are saying, good God, it's so frustrating and we're losing faith, I understand it. This is there's good reason for that. And that also should give a lot of energy to the thing you just mentioned, which is if you're unsatisfied with the people that are representing you, you got to get out there and vote and change them. Either give them a kick in the pants through your voting to wake up and do their jobs, or replace them with people who can. And that's what it's all about. And I understand why a lot of people are saying, you know, we need new leadership. That's I agree with that.
Senator, you're a good man. We'll talk again soon. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Senator Dave McCormick, really good stuff. He's not running from it. Yeah, they need to get together. It's time to stop the partisan politics, blaming each other, and just... he pretty much said, we need to get this fixed. Stop aligning with each other's team and figure it out for all the American people. Strong words from Senator Dave McCormick. Listen for The Drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Traffic now. McCormick. He was wonderful. As always, you can listen to us 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDKA or on that Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also watch us online, KDKA's video stream. It's presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to kdkradio.com, click on KDK Radio's live stream. Check out our YouTube page. I love our YouTube page. I use that a lot, especially to watch Larry's show in the morning when I'm up and about. So do that. I'm here only till 5 tonight. Michael Bartley takes over then. I got to go to a soiree at the Bocce House. Be sure to check that place out in Fox Chapel, RIDC Park. I'll get to your calls in a minute, but how about this? Breaking over the last, 14 minutes or so. The New York Post reports that the UPS cargo jet, which tragically crashed and exploded near Muhammad Ali Airport in Louisville, had been grounded for over a month prior to the accident due to critical fuel tank repairs. Oh, man. Anyway, yikes. 866-391-1020 is that number here. 866-391-1020. What did you make of what Senator McCormick said? I thought he was forthright, straight ahead, and spoke not like a politician, which he isn't, the businessman who happened to run for office, and said, yeah, I agree with you. Finger pointing needs to be done. Let's get this figured out. Vicky's in Greentree. Hey, Vicky.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Well, first of all, I agree. People that can work should, and to get Medicaid, should have to go to work. However, I also agree that all of our politicians should have to work more than 120 days a year, and that includes Mr. McCormick, and not get paid six figures. If you look it up on average, with all of their recesses and vacation and breaks and out for summer, out for fall, out for this, out for that, they work an average of 120 days a year.
Do you know he is not taking any pay during this government shutdown?
Great. So, and
well,
then
I'm just, and can I interject for a minute as you're attacking Senator McCormick?
He's our representative. So
right, but
he's a public servant.
Oh, he certainly is.
Him.
Do you know though? He doesn't.
I'm not attacking him.
He doesn't make the salary or the parameters, though.
Oh, of course not. No, they're never going to vote against themselves. And yeah, they were. It's been going on for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. They work an average of 120 days a year. And Americans are okay with that, I guess. I don't know. And they make, once they get into office, they all become millionaires overnight. It's kind of strange.
That's actually not true. That's actually not true at all. Most
people,
yeah. Hmm. Most people who become that elected official at that level were millionaires before they got in. And the pay that they make, many of them donate. I'm not sticking up for the politicians, but you have it backwards. Most of them were very wealthy before they got in, and so that money's not much to them.
Right. You need money now to run for any office. But yeah, just whenever I Google them, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They're all like millionaires after they get into office, whether they were before or whether they weren't, whatever. But anyways, I'm a small business owner, and I just know, like, going back to 2016, If somebody called me up and said, hey, I have a great person to be a bookkeeper, financial advisor, your accountant, your investor. Don't worry the fact that he inherited $300 million and filed six corporate bankruptcies, but he got your back. I would be like, hit the road. He has no place in my business. But we chose to have this person run our country. And it just baffles me that we pick somebody that filed six corporate bankruptcies.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are a couple situations at play here, right?
And
I'm not registered. Wait a minute. I'm not registered for either party. Let me look at this objectively.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the Democrats, for a time during the campaign, put up a guy who was like Weekend at Bernie's, okay? He was just existing. That's a big mistake.
Well, I kind of feel like that's what Trump's doing. Like,
wait, I'm not done. You asked me to explain
sense.
This, and I'm explaining it to you.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Joe Biden was...
The Democrats have been horrible.
You're talking too much. I'm sorry. I'm trying to explain something. Joe Biden was clearly unfit to run for office. The charade, the shenanigans, the farce that he was going to run set Democrats back. Okay? Kamala Harris... absolutely positively is not the right candidate. So there's that. But even as such, when Kamala Harris became the Democratic representative and the delegate to run for president of the United States of America, you had every opportunity to get to the polls, to vote for Kamala Harris, and to have a big groundswell of people try to make sure she got in. And she got obliterated. The time to act was on Election Day. The time to cry isn't at a No Kings rally, nor on November 6, 2025 at 3:27 p.m. That's what's great about this country. Donald Trump never did anything right now that he didn't say before he got elected he was going to do. You had an opportunity to mobilize, to put up a better candidate, or even use that candidate and defeat him. And you should have. That's why all of what you said is pretty much moot to me. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. News bottom of the hour, KDK. Here we are, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Man, there's so much to talk about. I'm only here till 5 today. Michael Bartley's going to jump in. I've got somewhere to be. And, there is one story I do want to get to in the 4 o'clock hour that it causes people to start questioning the legitimacy of our system. It just does. So there's that. Oh, you know that? Hey, now grab your calls if you're on the line. You know that D.C. sandwich thrower? He had his trial, and it ended very weird.
The trial jury found Sean Dunn not guilty. Federal prosecutors tried to indict Dunn on a felony assault charge, but in a rare rebuke, the grand jury refused. Prosecutors then filed a misdemeanor charge and took Dunn to trial.
Okay, so that's what's going on. I don't know. The video of that guy throwing his sandwich at those agents is... He's an idiot. There's no two ways about it. And he needs to be charged with something. Does it need to be a felony? That I don't know. But he does need to go through the process. He should be handcuffed. He should be taken down. He should be charged. And he should go through the booking process and all of that. And I'm totally fine with that. If it's a misdemeanor, it's a misdemeanor. Whatever it is. But you can't throw a full sandwich at a peace officer the way that he did and think that it's just okay, and then you victimize yourself. People like that suck. They just do. Anyhow, 866-391-1020. Bob's in South Dakota. Hi, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful.
Okay, here's an alternative to going around the flying problems, and it's one word, Amtrak.
Yeah, here's a problem with Amtrak. As somebody whose son loves trains, as somebody who's, I've rode Amtrak a lot of places. I rode it from here all the way to Florida. I've gone to Louisiana, rode it all the way back home. I've rode it here to Chicago and back a bunch of times. I've rode it to D.C. Where else have we? Oh, all the way from Florida back. Where else have we gone? We have gone a couple other places. It's been like 4 or 5 places. One, Amtrak's never on time. Okay. 2, Amtrak is, if you want to be comfortable, it borders on unreasonably priced. Just easier to fly. And the biggest thing is this, back to it never being on time, Amtrak in this country, as opposed to passenger rail in other countries, needs to yield to commercial freight rail traffic. Okay. Like in other countries, passenger rail gets priority. In this country, freight gets priority. So what happens is, you're going along, then you gotta pull over in like a sideling or whatever it's called. Then you watch 2 trains go past you, and you sit there for 40 minutes. And that makes you never on time. It would be very enjoyable if there was much more high-speed rail in this country, but here's the thing. The topography in the Northeast doesn't necessarily allow, excuse me, and the infrastructure isn't there, and of course, they'll haggle about the money. But that's something that's going on. But in the Midwest of this country, and in the flyover states. There absolutely should be a connector of high-speed rail to where we can get a lot more places a lot quicker. And it should be there should be tracks that are solely for passenger rail. That would alleviate some of it. 100% so. Reed's in St. Clair. Hi, Reed.
So I'm 51. I'm a lifelong Republican. I've never voted for a Democrat in my life. But when I do think about what's happening with the government shutdown, someone who has shocked me but also impressed me is Senator Fetterman. And what I really do appreciate about what he's been doing is the D behind his name takes a back seat to his responsibility to do what's right for the people. And what I really appreciate about him is he's not an ideologue. He truly is in this for the benefit of the people of Pennsylvania. And I can say for the first time, he runs for re-election, I would absolutely vote for him.
You want to know what's crazy? This is such a great discussion. I'm sorry for clearing my throat in your ear. I do apologize. What is crazy about this, Reed, is exactly all those points you made are why some Democrats are abandoning him. They're calling him a turncoat. They can't wait to get him out, and they are pointing the finger at him and labeling him a Republican. When in fact, he said pretty much the very thing that you said. When he was elected to represent all Pennsylvanians, not just people with a D behind their name or who vote for Democrats or are registered Democrats. So this guy gets it in terms of what he's supposed to do and who he's carrying the job out for. And then you have people who are going to try to eat their own, which is crazy to me, Reed.
Yeah. Can I just say this too? You know, I say this knowing fully well that he will likely vote perhaps at least half of the time in a way that would maybe be in conflict with my beliefs and values, but I'm actually okay with that because at the end of the day, I'm willing to put that aside because I know he has character. I know he has moral fortitude. And I just feel like he's a rare breed, you know, in Congress. And that's a shame that you have all these Democratic ideologues that are turning against him. But hopefully, you know, with the leadership that he's taken, more Democrat senators will follow his lead. I doubt they will, but I think he's just shown a great example of leadership.
No, thank you. They're not going to follow his lead. What's going to happen is they're going to try to annex him out the first opportunity they get. They've already spoken. So many people have already spoken out against him. So many people have, like I said, called him a turncoat, have said he doesn't belong on their team. He's become a pariah to too many people, as opposed to look, Senator John Fetterman has appeared more on social media or has appeared arm in arm with Dave McCormick more than anybody in his party as of late, if you really think about it. And if you, as opposed to getting mad, like some people will, just at the optics of it or without hitting click and listening to what they say, listen to the message, and neither one of them delivers a partisan message. They both deliver a bipartisan message for all Pennsylvanians. But people won't even take the time. They'll just read the headline, and they'll say, oh, look at this guy with this guy, turncoat, right? As opposed to listening to what they have to say. Anyway, 866-391-1020. I do want to get back into the air travel stuff. Have you changed your plans? Honestly. Are you a little bit skittish about what's going to happen? I don't know, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe next week. If you have an existing airfare air reservation, what are you doing with it? I want to dive back into that and a couple other things too. Again, 866-391-1020 right here at KDK. Somebody tweeted about snow in the forecast. So I went ahead and looked at like the 5-day forecast or whatever. There's an icon. A snow icon on Monday. Now, I don't know what that means. Coating to an inch. Just a dusting. Only in the laurels. You know, I mean, you've been around here forever. There's a million different ways the snow could hit. But the first time you see that snow icon on the seasonal weather, right? The first time of the season. That is a game changer in your head. Like, one of the things that happened was it got dark at 238 yesterday. So you're like, wow, it really is winter. Then that next thing is when it snows that first time. And apparently it's supposed to snow Monday. I am loaded up on salt. I bought a bunch of salt 2 years ago. Remember, it didn't snow at all. Then it snowed some last year, but I still bought so much that I have salt. But it's like that good salt that doesn't erode your driveway or your sidewalk or whatever. And I got, like, seriously, like 8 buckets of it. Here's the thing, and I'll grab your calls in a moment. I've lucked out in the parent department. I might have the only son in history who actually loves shoveling snow. Like, it's one of his favorite things to do. He can't wait to get out there and do it. He loves doing work. It's insane. And he'll wait until it fall, you know, a bunch of it falls. He'll go out 2-3 times. He loves salting. So, I go out and join him, but he's like, no, I got it. Perfect rows. It's incredible. Frank's in Zilly. What's up, Frank?
I'm calling. One of the problems that I myself personally had, I'm a lazy voter, and as I go and vote, but a lot of times I don't do my homework, and I rely on the handout slates that at the individual voting places that kind of guide you, you know, if you haven't done your homework. And I had to eeny, meeny, miny, moe a few because there was no hints except for the people that spent a lot of money on advertising that I wouldn't vote for. Other than that, I was lost on a lot of candidates, brother.
Am I supposed to have compassion for you? I don't get it, Frank.
No, what I'm saying is when you go to most voting places, there are people standing outside that, you know, hand you a handout to look at the candidates, and real quickly you can go, ba 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 ba. Well, there wasn't anybody like that where I voted early Tuesday morning before work.
Do you have the internet, sir?
Yeah, I do, but like I said, I was lazy.
Well, I think you just answered your own question. That's one of the most absurd calls I've ever received. Frank seems like a lovely man. May need a Sucrets. But other than that, he seems like a lovely man. That said, if he has access to the internet and he knew the election was coming, and again, he has access to the internet, it's incumbent upon you to do your own homework. Think about this. Nobody, when you walk up, and this is weird to me anyway, those people that stand outside, but when you walk up, somebody, it could be Charles Manson for school board. He'll have somebody standing there and they're going to hand you this little flyer, this little piece of paper. And you're going to say, hey, what's up with this Manson guy? And the person who is sent there by him as part of one of his campaign workers, they're going to go, Manson? Greatest guy you've ever met. He's going to do this for the school. He's going to do that for the school. It's going to be in a much better place right as soon as he gets elected than it ever was before. He has this play. Again, it could be the Manson / Kaczynski ticket. And those people will spin it in a positive way. Not one person, when you walk into the precinct, who's standing outside with those little sheets, has ever gone, here's a sheet for my guy. He actually kind of sucks. I mean, if you got to vote for him, I guess do it. But really, I mean, everybody's going to pump their guy's tires or their lady's tires. That's the way that it is. So in order to weed out that last-minute Hail Mary, which is exactly what that is, you got to do your own homework. I mean, I didn't spend an inordinate amount of time, but I did carve out last weekend, I guess it was Saturday, I carved out a good hour or so, and I read up on the stuff that I felt I needed to go back on and some of the school board people, and the stuff I needed, the loose ends I kind of needed to sew up on the people running for borough council, or township council, rather. I needed to sew up and delineate and differentiate between a couple of the people. And I felt it's my civic duty to at least know what the hell's happening with them. Yeesh. Coming up next, I do want to get into a story of this will make you question the legitimacy of the system, or am I overreacting? We'll dive into that. And is it an overreaction to say, hey, listen, I don't want to fly the next week? cash in my ticket, figure it out later. I don't want to go to the airport and get caught up in this nonsense. Let's talk next. News top of the hour, KDKA.